Last week, a friend of mine told me that he had a Parshas HaKetores written on a cloth and was covered with a plastic sheet, and the plastic was wearing out, so he wanted to throw the plastic out. So he asked me if it's Tashmishei Kedusha, it needs to be put in Geniza, or just Tashmishei Mitzvah and could be Nizrak. I said, I thought it's Tashmishei Kedusha, the Chorosh should be put in Geniza. He said, would you mind asking Rav Shechter? So I asked Rav Shechter on Friday, and as often is the case, the answer to the Shaila itself is not the surprising part, it's what he then says afterwards. That's the surprising part. So Rav Shechter said, yes, Tashmishei Kedusha, I don't see why, of course Tashmishei Kedusha. But I don't know why anyone is allowed to have a Parshas HaKetores in the first place. Ooh, okay, so now we have what to talk about. So let's discuss what exactly is the problem with having the Parshas HaKetores. So we have to discuss, we'll back up a little bit and discuss the reason that people say the Parshas HaKetores, which hopefully we all do, at least sometimes, the reason that it's written, the Parshas HaKetores is written, and why it might be a halachic problem to have a Parshas HaKetores written on a cloth. So first, the value of reciting Pitum HaKetores every day. We should distinguish over here. There's the Parshas HaKetores, the Pesukim in the Torah, and then there's the Brisa of Pitum HaKetores, which describes how the Ketores was done, so how the Ketores was made. So there is an Indian, of course, in the Shalma Parmes Faseinu, the Gemara tells us, that Avram Avinu asked, as the Chumash says, Avram Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'meh Eida Ki'i Rashana, how do I know that my children are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael? And the Gemara interprets that to mean, B'ez Zuchus, what Zuchus will my children have? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zuchus HaKarbanel. So Avram Avinu says, that's wonderful, B'zman Shein B'zman Shein B'zman Shein B'zman Shein, then what's going to be? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shalma Parmes Faseinu. Then you learn about Karbanos, you talk about Karbanos, and through that it says, if you are makriv karbanos, so the chora by reciting the pesukim of the Ketores and the brisa of pitum haKetores, in a certain sense, we are fulfilling the hakrava of the Ketores, and that, as we pointed out in the past, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos says that it might be a kium to oraisa to say those parshios that are related to karbanos. Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah talks about the idea that normally dvarim she b'chsav yatarash elomrim balpeh, you know, I'll have to say dvarim she b'chsav balpeh, but he says if you're being mekayim another mitzvah by saying those psukim, then you're allowed to say them balpeh. The mashal kriyashma, you're allowed to say kriyashma balpeh even though it's Torah she b'chsav, because you're being mekayim another mitzvah other than just the Talmud Torah. So you have, or Birchas Kohanim, you're allowed to, the Kohanim don't have to read the brachos from a Chumash, they can say it balpeh because they're being mekayim another mitzvah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, or karbanos, because since you're being mekayim in Shalom Parnas Vaseinu, you're being mekayim the karbanos, sounds like midoraisa, you're being mekayim the mitzvah of karbanos, so that's why you're allowed to say it balpeh. So the point is, though, that on the very basic level, that's the great value of reciting the Parshas HaKetores as well as the Pitum HaKetores. But in addition to that value, there are lots of skulas involved with saying the Ketores. What do I mean by lots of skulas? Well, first of all, in the Torah itself, in Parshas Korach, apparently Ketores had the ability to stop a plague. So that's pretty impactful. Second of all, if you look through a lot of the Sifrei Achronim and the Mekubalim, you'll find a tremendous amount. So Chaim Palagi writes that it solves problems of the that non-Jewish governments caused the Jewish people. The Medrash HaNeilim in Parshas Vayera, that it nullifies terrible Gzeiros Raos against us. The Zohar says that if a person says Ketores with Kavana every day, he's going to get a chelik in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and he's not going to suffer in this world, and he's not going to suffer in Gehenim, and the Sitra Achra will have no Shlita over him. The Chidar writes that just saying the words brings great Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Kavana you just have to make sure is purely Shem Shemaim, and the Schar that comes is going to come in Mela, but it's going to be fantastic. The Zohar and Parshas Pinchas and the Yisod V'Shor Shavodah say that it's Nitzel Mimisa, it's Matzel Mimisa, saves a person from death. In Mavri Yavok, he says that especially in a base Avel, it elevates the Neshama and it protects the Avelim. So lots and lots of skulas relating to the saying of the Ketores. I heard from Rabbi Mati Neuberger that he said that Rebbetzin Feiner, Rabbi Feiner's wife, told him that when she was growing up in her family, her mother used to tell her that you say Ketores every day with Kavana and you'll be Zoche to a good Shidduch. That's what she and her sisters were always told. Right? So you know what kind of Shidduch. shiduchim that was zochet to, right? So there's Rabbi Feiner, our very own Rabbi Shmuel Marcus, Tzadik Elyon we're talking about over here. I mean, we're talking about some pretty special people. And you don't even know Ari Pearl, the third brother, also a Talmud, a tremendous, tremendous special person. So I don't know if it's because of the Ketores partially or because of other things also, Mustama, that they were zochet to these kinds of shiduchim. I don't know if there are more sisters. I'm not leaving anyone out on purpose. I don't know the family. I only know these three. But the primary segula, though, if I were to ask you, what's the segula associated with Ketores? Why do people really say it? What's the segula? Parnasa. Oh, it all comes down to money. So the Rama in Yardes in Reisam Chesef Yeralef writes, in the name of the Maril, that a person should not serve as a sandik twice on two different children, right, in the same family. Why? Where does that come from? So it's based on a comment the Gemara in Yuma has about the Ketores. Yuma Dav Chavav. The Gemara says that the same Kohen would not do the Ketores twice because the performance of the Ketores serves as a segula for wealth, so we want to spread the wealth. Let more Kohanim have the wealth. So the Maril says, and that therefore extends to being a sandik, because being a sandik is like being maktir the Ketores. But it's all based on Ketores. In fact, the Nod Yud and Madura Kama Simin Yud says that's why we always say in Kelukenu before the Pitma Ketores. Why? Because people tend to start, when people get wealthy, it's natural to start to feel Kochi va'otum yadi yasali yasachayil hazeh. They start thinking that it's all about themselves. So Zakhtan Nod Yehuda, that's why we say right before now in Kelukenu. That it all is it's about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not because of our own selves. And in fact, that's what Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yakar has a little bit of a different explanation. Who's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yakar? A Rebbe of the Ramban in his Perush HaTfilos VaBrachos says that we say Ein Kelukein right before Pitma Ketores so that we do not mistakenly think that the power of Ketores is what makes us rich. It's the power of Hashem that makes us rich. But you do see that there is this inyan of segula. Okay, when is one supposed to recite Ketores? By when I mean three different things. Which tefillah of the day should it be associated with? Should it be before or after that tefillah? And is it every day? So one at a time. Which tefillah of the day? The Torah in Simchot Lamed and Gimel says definitely after Shachris. By Shachris you say Pitma Ketores, and the Ramah quotes that as well. The Torah then says V'chein be'erev la'achar she'yigmru tefillas arvis no'agin lomar Pitma Ketores. After Mariv you say Pitma Ketores, the Ramah quotes that as well. Magen Avraham in Simchot Reish Lamed and Gimel says that at Milcha tov lomar gam kein Pitma Ketores. So by all three tefillas of the day there is some makar to tell you that you say Pitma Ketores. Okay. Before davening or after davening? So the Rabbeinu Bechai in Parsha Shmini, Perek Tes, Pasuk Gimel, says that immediately after Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron how to do the Ketores, the pasuk reports that Vayava Moshe Aaron El Ol Moed Vayetsu, meaning in the Ol Moed Moshe was teaching Aaron about the Ketores. Then Vayetsu, they went out and they blessed the nation right afterwards. Why did they bless the nation right afterwards? Because riding the coattails of the zchus of the Ketores, the tefillos and the brachos that a person says are more impactful. Which makes it sound like the tefillah should come right after the Ketores. So when should you say the Ketores? Like during Karbanos, we should say the Pitma Ketores. That's what it sounds like before the actual tefillah. What's the logic to do the Pitma Ketores afterwards? So Tzror Mar asks the Kashi, he says, why is it that the Mizbeach Hazav, the Mizbeach HaKetores, is listed in Parshas Tetzaveh? It's very much out of order. Parshas Truma is all the Kelim of the Mishkan, Tetzaveh, the Big Dekuna, and then at the very end, after all that, we have the Mizbeach Hazav. Well, why is it so out of place? And he suggests that the Ketores is a Mekasher. It brings together all of the disparate parts of the Mishkan, all of the different Avodos. That's the role of Ketores. That's why it has all these different Sammanim, including ones that smell bad, that are Keneged, the Rishaim. It's Mekasher of Klal Yisrael. It connects all the Avodah, connects the entire Mishkan. That's why it's in the middle of the Mishkan, and that's why the Mizbeach Ketores is right in the middle of the Mishkan. The Ketores includes things that represent all kinds of Jews. It's this great connector, this great Mekasher. So once you have all of the Tefillah done, then you do the Ketores, and that sort of brings it all together. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov Emden struggled with this. When should he say it? So he said he split. He would say Parshas HaKetores before davening, and Pitma Ketores after davening, to grab onto the zuchus of the Ketores at both ends, with both of these possibilities. Okay, how many days a week should one be reciting Parshas HaKetores and Pitma Ketores? Every day? Just Shabbos? When do we do it? So this involves a much bigger discussion. The Beis Yosef and Simchot Lamed Gimel quotes from the Mari Abuhab, not to say Pitma Ketores by heart, because if you say it by heart, Shema Yechzar Echad Me'asamanim Ve'echayv Misa. Kriya kimo bahaktara. Just like if you're makter the ktaras and you forget one ingredient, you're chayiv misa. If you say the ktaras and forget one ingredient, you're also going to be chayiv misa. So don't say it by heart. Read it from somewhere so that you make sure you don't skip any part of the ktaras. The Rama quotes this and says, and therefore many people are knowing to only say it on Shabbos. Because during the week we're in such a rush, we're not going to be careful enough. Even if we are reading it, we may read it, daven it up so fast that we're gonna skip one of the samanim and be chayv misa. The risk is not worth the reward. Wait until Shabbos when you have plenty of time and it's relaxed, and you'll be able to say the pitum haktaras properly. They say that the Arizal used to count them out as he was mentioning them on his fingers. Now, Bikash is that there are 11 samanim, and the Arizal I think only had 10 fingers like the rest of us. But I guess, you know, he knew that it's the 10, and then there's one more right afterwards. So that's, but to make sure, to be very careful, there's people are knowing to be very careful not to miss any of the samanim. Beis Yosef, though, rejects this whole concern of the Maria Barov. So, what you're gonna be chayv misa? He says, look, im halacha nekabel. Avlim ledin yesh tshuva. If you're gonna tell me, yeah, that you have some sort of mesorah and there's something that's beyond my understanding as to what, I'll have to be mekabel. But if this is based on logic, the logic is not that way. It's not logical to say that you're gonna be chayv misa for missing one of the samanim. Why is it that you chayv misa if you miss out one of the samanim in the Beis Hamikdash when you bring the ketores? He says that's pashut. The Kohen Gadol chayv misa if he misses out one of the samanim because it's a biyarekanis. He's going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you know, on Yom HaKippurim, if he doesn't have proper ketores. So it's a biyarekanis. He's going in for no reason. For a biyarekanis, he's going to be chayv misa. We're not going anywhere. We're standing there in shul. We're standing in Queens or Woodmere or whatever. Right? We're not going anywhere. What do we do? What kind of biyarekanis? You're not going to be chayv misa, says Beis Yosef. Furthermore, says Beis Yosef, even if the Chiyuv Misa is not on account of Bia Rekanis, but on account of being Makdir Ketores Zara, that you're bringing a Ketores that's not the right Ketores, still, that's only a problem when you're actually Makdir something. He says, we don't take a Mishalma Parmas Vaseinu to be that, that literal, that we're actually being Makdir. So it's not going to be in violation of the Haktara. The Magen Avraham adds that Eina Misa Ela Bemezid. You're also only Chayv Misa if you do something Bemezid. If you accidentally skip one, that's not called. That you're not going to be Chayv Misa for such a thing. And for those reasons, the Magen Avraham also disagrees with the Ramah and says, don't say it just on Shabbos. You want to tell me, Ramad, say it just on Shabbos because you're afraid you might miss one and then it's going to be Chayiv Misa. Says Magen Avraham, I got three good reasons why you're not Chayiv Misa, and therefore, L'chumra, say it every day. Right? People think of the Magen Avraham as like, L'kula, oh, don't worry, you're not going to be Chayiv Misa. No, it's a Chumra, and therefore, you got to say it every single day. So where does it come from to read from a Klaf? So Rav Avadya Yosef quotes that the Kaf HaChayim in Simin Tov, Sifkatan Chai. That's the way he quotes it. It's Simin Yud Zayin, right? Gematria of Tov. And Sivkatan Yud Ches, Chai. So in Simin Tov, Sivkatan Chai, now you're never going to forget it, right? Where to find it. So the Kaf HaChaim writes in Simin Tov, Sivkatan Chai, that you should dafka read it from a klaf written in Ksav Ashuris, in a Ksiva HaKashel the Sefer Torah. It should be written like by a scribe on a klaf with a proper ksiva, and that's a guarantee for wealth. Then you know for sure you're going to have Ashirus, you're going to have more parnasa than you need. It's going to be wonderful. So the problem with that is, sounds like a great idea, but the Gemara in Maseches Gittin, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, asks whether you're allowed to write a Megillah Latinok L'Islamidba. What does Megillah mean? It doesn't mean Megillah Sastra. It means, can you write a section of Torah separate from the rest of a Chamisha Chumshei Torah? Why? Because the kid in yeshiva is learning Parshas Lech Lecha. So you want to just write Parshas Lech Lecha. You shouldn't have to schlep around a big Chamisha Chumshei Torah or a big Torah scroll wherever he goes, and it doesn't fit in his backpack. Let him have just a Parshas Lech Lecha. Right? So that's the kasha, that's the shaila the Gemara asks. So the Gemara concludes, Ein Kosvin! Can't do it. You're not allowed to. Rashi explains that even if you hold that the Torah was not Chasuma Nitna, that the Torah was Megillah Nitna, that the Torah was given that way, it was given in pieces, yeah, but once it all came together, now it's all together. And you're not allowed to break up a single parsha. Shulchan Aruch in Yardeh, Sim Resh Pei Gimel Sif Beis, paskins halacha lo yichtov megillah b'fnei atzma shiu ba parshios vein kosun megillah tinoch l'samidba. You're not allowed to write separate parshios of the chumash without the rest of the chumash, and even for a tinoch to learn from, you're not allowed to do it. Ooh, so that sounds pretty bad. Then you're not allowed to write parshios of the Torah on a klaf. So there is a heter of Eis Lasos. The Shach over there on the side of the Shulchan Aruch quotes from many Rishonim, the Rif, the Mordechai, the Aguda, and other poskim that it's he doesn't say the other poskim, he just says in Shar poskim that it's mutter l'tinok l'slamidbo because Eis Lasos Hashem Efer Sorzecha. Yeah, otherwise the child's not going to learn. No one's ever going to get an education if the kid has to bring a sefer Torah to yeshiva every day. It's not going to happen. No one has a sefer Torah in their house to send the kid to yeshiva, so it can't be. So because of Eis Lasos Hashem Efer Sorzecha, we allow writing down, and that's why we're allowed to write down the parshios of Kriya Shema and the parshios that are part of Tefillah, because otherwise there would be a great bittul of Kriya Shema and of Tefillah. So the Taz however points out that Eis Lasos only works for things that are absolutely necessary, like educating children. That's absolutely necessary. L'slamedvo. But he says, for example, those who write psukim ala kosa le'eza simin tov, they write psukim on the wall for some sort of positive simin. Lav shapir avdi, the Torah chasuma nitna. They're not doing right, because the Torah is supposed to be in a single unit. It should not be broken up and written just parts of it. In fact, the Tashbetz, it's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuvin Yardeyas and Resh Pei Gimel, says that even when you're doing it for Eis Lasos, even when you have the Heter of Eis Lasos, Tashbetz writes, Pesachei Tshuvah quotes from Tashbetz Chelek Aleph Simen Beis, that even when it is Eis Lasos, it cannot be done b'ksav Ashuras al Klav. Even when it's Eis Lasos, just write it in a regular notebook or something. Have a little chumash or something. But to do with klaf, with a ksav ashuris, with everything, says the Tashbetz, that you're not allowed to do, even if you have an Eis Lasos. So even if you wanted to argue that your segula for ashiris is so important that you need to have a ketoris written separately, so good, so read it from the sitter. You don't have to read it from a klaf. So this is a major issue. This is a major question. Meaning, where does this come from? So we see the Kafachaim says it's a big school and the school only works if you do. But what about the halacha? What do you do when the school is against the halacha? So Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva about this. Rav Avadia Yosef in Yabia Omer Chelek Tes Yardeya Sim Lechav Gimel writes Lechachila Ein Roi Lichtov Pita Maktaris Bifnei Atzma. Shouldn't do it. Shouldn't write Pita Maktaris on a separate parchment. But Bidyevin Mutalikrova. But if you have it already, so then you can read from it, and then you'll tap into that skula. But you shouldn't do. I don't think that means you can buy one, because if you buy one, you're encouraging them to write another one. So you're, and we don't want to encourage that. You're not supposed to do that. Sofrim shouldn't be writing them. Maybe if you have one around the house, someone already bought you one or whatever, so then you can use it, says Rav Avadia Yosef. So that was Rav Shachtos Harer. Rav Shachtos said, as soon as I asked him, he said, I don't understand why people feel the need to write the Ketoreh Son of Klaf. They should read it from the Siddur. And meaning, of course, you should say it. That we saw it clearly. But who says that you have to say it dafka from a klaf? You should read it from a siddur. But nevertheless, the fact that the Kafachai mentions this and that there are early sources for such a school of reading it from a klaf leads you to believe that not everyone agreed with Rav Avadia's conclusion. It's just unclear to me why. I'm sure I'll get some emails with some explanations as to why it is that it would be okay and not a violation of that explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch.